doesn't that put a lot of responsibility on us? To know that God is counting on us. The song that we sang a little bit ago said, I know God is.
Yes.
I know His word unfailing meets each test. And I know that God is a big God today.
Yes.
He's a God of love. I'm thankful for that. He's a God of mercy. Tender God. And He's long-suffering, isn't He? He's long-suffering to us. I'm glad that He has been, and I'm glad that He is. Thank the Lord today for being saved.
Amen.
I'd like for us to turn into the Word to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. I don't have anything new, but I feel like the Lord has given us something to challenge us, to encourage us, to trust the Lord. Seems like in the day that we're living in that we all are facing our personal struggles and battles, and sometimes faith comes to a low ebb. But folks, God still is.
Amen.
Yes.
God's still where He was when He created this world. God is still the same God that He was when He made you and I in righteousness.
Yeah.
Or when He made man in righteousness, and when He breathed in us the breath of life, He's still the same God. He's my God, and I'm sure He's your God today. These are your prayers. The Lord will bless our thoughts this afternoon. 1 Kings 19 and 1 said, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that, he arose and he went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. I wonder today how many times we felt the pressures that Elijah felt there. Life is full of pressures.
Yeah.
We hear the term a lot, depressed. Depression comes from pressure. And although we all face different situations in life, we all face pressure. I would say that Elijah was facing a lot of pressure here when his life was being threatened, wouldn't you? If someone was threatening your life, you'd feel a lot of pressure, I'm sure. You know, the devil's threatening us. As we heard this morning, he wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. We're under pressure. But I thank God today that we can trust the one that knows and understands.
Amen.
And the one that is able to take care of any pressure, any problem, anything that comes our way. He is able.
Yes, He is.
He is well able. He is well capable. When we find ourselves under the pressures of life, we soon feel our weaknesses.
Yes.
We realize how weak that we are. And it many times will bring despair to us. We get despair. We are concerned, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know. And there's a lot of I don't knows. And folks, if we're not careful, the I don't knows can turn to doubts. And we don't want to doubt God. God has proven Himself time after time. I'm sure that if we turn this service into a testimony service. We could hear a lot of times, many times, that God has been faithful to His people. And God is still being faithful today. He's still there today to help you and I in whatever pressure, whatever threatening that God may permit to come our way. He is going to take care of us. I'm comforted in that. He's going to take care of us. He doesn't give up on us, folks. He does not give up on us. I know that sometimes people give up on God, but He will not give up on us. As I said at the beginning, He's long-suffering. And He's a faithful God. And He's a loving God. And He wants to get you and I to heaven. Now, He may bring us around a way that we don't understand. He may bring us through some difficult time, through the fire. But, dear ones, He wants to get us to heaven. He's interested in getting us to heaven. And that's why I believe we're all here in this meeting. We want to go to heaven.
That's right.
Well, God wants to get us there. So I'm sure that maybe we don't feel threatened in our life physically, but life has a way of pressures have a way of building up.
Yeah.
And they have a way of caving in on us. They have a way of causing great concern and sometimes maybe even despair. I'd like to go on and read how God dealt with Elijah here. In verse 9, after he arose and he ate, it says he came thither into a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way sometime? You were the only one where you were that was trying to serve the Lord? Oh, I'm the only one left, Lord. Oh, just take my life. I'm the only one that's trying to stand. The people, they've all get turned over to Baal. They've all given in to the false prophets. I'm the only one left, Lord. Oh, but folks, today, you know, when you go on and read there, you find out that there was quite a few thousand that God still had. That had not turned to the idol Baal, hadn't bowed down to that idol. God has a people today, you and I.
Amen.
We're a part of the people of God.
Amen.
But I don't want us to be so narrow-minded to think that we here in the United States, we're the only people. God has people all over this world. And we're not alone in this battle. We're all fighting the same enemy, but we're not alone in it. And God has people all over this world that's believing and trusting in the name of Jesus. God wants us to trust, folks. He wants us to trust in Him. I know that our humanity will bring us on the brink of despair at times. It'll bring us on the brink in places of not understanding what we're dealing with, folks. But dear ones, God has designed it so that you and I are going to have battles. You and I are going to have trials. And those things are coming along for a purpose, and that is to draw you and I closer to God. Those things are permitted to come our way that we might see who God is. See Him more clearly. See Him more fully in His fullness. Oh, but sometimes they hurt. They hurt the flesh, don't they? Oh, we say, "Oh, Lord, heal me," or "Lord, deliver me out of this thing." Let's not be so quick to say, "Lord, deliver me." Let's say, "Lord, what do you have for me in this thing? What can I benefit from my soul? What can I get, the spoils that I can get from this battle that I've been in, that I'm in?" God has a purpose, folks. I don't believe God sends something along just to cause you and I trouble. He has a purpose in what He's doing with every one of us. Oh, our world, there's so much evil around us today, and we feel hopeless at times to deal with it all. And Satan will use that. He'll use the world around us to weaken our faith. He'll use the world, the things, the evil, the pressures of life to weaken our faith. But I want to encourage us this afternoon, folks. Don't let it weaken your faith. Let it draw closer. Let it draw you closer to God. He told us in His Word, He said, "You can resist the devil and draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." Folks, we need to spend more time resisting the devil instead of giving in to temptations, giving in to the weaknesses of the flesh. Yes. We can resist the devil and begin to draw nigh to God. That's coming to Him in prayer and in meditation and getting a hold of Him, fasting, whatever it takes, and drawing nigh to God, that He will draw nigh to us.
Yes.
Oh, He's our God today. He said, "They shall be my people, and I will be their God." We're His people today, and He wants to be our God. But let's let Him, let's allow Him to be our God. Not just in the good times. The song says, He's the God in the bad times. He's the God in the bad times. You know, you ever been to a funeral? It seemed like a lot of times you go to a funeral, and I've had people say, "No, this shouldn't be. This person, they were such a good person. This shouldn't be. They shouldn't have died." Folks, death doesn't mean that God wasn't there.
That's right.
Death is appointed to every one of us.
Yeah.
We need to see God in everything that He permits to come our way. If that was the case, where was God when Jesus expired on the cross? He was there, folks. He was there. He had it all in His control. Everything went just like His great plan had planned for it to go. So death doesn't mean that there's not a God. There's going to come a time when our sickness may be unto death.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We're looking forward to a heavenly home.
Amen.
We're looking forward to a new body.
Yes.
We're looking forward to being in the presence of the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
I want to encourage us today. Don't let down on your faith. I want the Lord to inspire our faith today.
Yes.
Trust Him. Believe in the one that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you're able to ask or think. According to the power that worketh within us, folks. God, help us to have power as His people. The power of love. The power of long-suffering. The power of compassion. The power of faith.
Amen.
Oh, to trust in the Lord. You know, there's some wonderful benefits in trusting the Lord.
Yes.
Oh, I've been down on that floor. I've been in the pain for days and weeks. The pain so sharp in the back I couldn't walk. Couldn't get up, couldn't drive, couldn't do the natural, normal things of life. I've been down there on the floor. I've lived on the floor. I know what pain is. Told my wife, if you took a butcher knife and stuck it in my back, it wouldn't be any sharper. It wouldn't hurt any worse. It takes your breath away, causes you to pass out. But I want to tell you something today, folks. Down on that floor, the Lord began to deal with me. I opened up the Bible. He began to talk to me, began to reveal Himself to me. I am God. I am able. Right in the midst of it all, the devil says, "Here you are with four young children. You got a mortgage on your home, and you're just a young man, and you're never going to be able to work again." Praise God, the devil's a liar today.
Amen.
You got to remember, folks, he's a liar, and he's the father of it. Devil's telling me those things, and the Lord's giving me scripture after scripture after scripture. Oh, my faith took hold, dear one. And the devil's come along and said, "You're never going to be able to do this or that." But my faith took hold. And I've never been down there again. I've never been down there on that floor again with my back. Oh, praise the Lord. He's a healer. He's not only a deliverer, folks, but He's a healer. And He's still healing today. He's still healing His people. He's still answering prayer. Oh, I'm glad that I know Him. Brother talked this morning a little bit about a relationship. Oh, I'm glad for my relationship.
Thank the Lord.
My personal relationship with God. Oh, when things out there look dark, when they look doubtful, when everyone around you are turning away, dear ones, I have a relationship with God that I can make an appeal to Him.
Yeah.
And I can touch His heart.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, you can touch his heart.
Yeah.
You know how to touch His heart? Brother Keith said it, obedience. Oh, that'll open up his heart every time. When he looks down and says, sees my child is obeying my word. He's keeping my word hid in his heart. He loves my word. He loves the truth. Folks, when we obey the Lord, I want to tell you that'll touch his heart every time. The answer, you just stay faithful. The answer's going to come. Oh, the answer's going to come. Oh, and through the pain, all the pain. Yeah, take your breath. Yeah, it looks like you're never going to be able to live normal life again, but you just stay true to the Lord. You just trust the Lord, dear ones. The answer's going to come. No one can deliver or heal like my God.
Praise God.
No one. There's no one that I can turn to. There's no one that I can look to that can do for me what my God can do for me.
That's right.
Even when it looks like things are in despair. Yeah. Even when it looks like it's worse, like it did here for Elijah. Oh, I'm thankful for my God today. Yeah. My security is in the Lord.
Yeah.
I feel secure. I'm safe. And I'm secure because I'm in Him and He's in me.
Yeah.
He's in us. You know, that's the beauty of it all. We can draw nigh to Him, but He's in us. In us, dwelling in us. The quickening Spirit, the Bible speaks of. Quickening us, making us alive, dwelling in us. Folks, walking around wherever we go, you're going to your job, you're going to where you live, in all the places that we come from, He's with us. Individually, He lives and dwells in us. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
I mean, how much sweeter can it be? I don't believe we could take it anymore in this body if it got any sweeter than what it already is. That we can have that communion, that relationship, personal. He knows me. And I'm learning Him. I certainly want to learn more about Him. But He knows all about me. He knows all about you too. And He permits something to come your way and you say, well, Lord, why did this happen? I want to tell you, He didn't just send it that way just to cause you trouble. He had a purpose in it.
Yes.
You know, before I got saved, I really struggled with patience. And the Lord's helped me and brought me a long way. One of the things that I think the hardest part of my life for patience is driving. It seems like, now it just seems like it, I'm sure, that every time I come up to a traffic light, it turns red. We used to live out in the country, and while they put a traffic light out there, I admit I complained about that a few times. But it's out in the country. I mean, it's not even close to any town. It's out in the country. But I could drive, and I had to drive that way every day. And I could see that traffic light off a good mile. And you know, while I'm looking at it, it's green. And I know good and well, by the time I get there, it'll turn red. And it seems to me like at least 80%, if not 90% of the time, that's what happened. My wife was with me one day, and I had to stop at that light. And I said, why did this have to happen? I don't need this. My wife looked at me and she said, well, I guess you do. I guess you do need this. Thank the Lord for wives. The Lord knows what we need. Folks, that's helped me. You know what? We moved about a year and a half ago, and we live out on the fringe of a small town. We don't live in the city now. And do you know what? Before I can get from my house to on the highway, we got a traffic light. And you know what? I get it most of the time. Lord's still working on me. He's working on us. You're patient. It may not be patience. Whatever it is, the Lord's working on it. But I want you to know He's still God. And He's going to bring you through. And He's going to bring you through with victory down in your soul. We can have power over the devil. We can have power over the flesh.
Amen.
If we walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
He said, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
I remember the time when Peter and Jesus was talking and Jesus said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know, there was a conversation some time back between the devil and God about Job. I wonder sometimes if they don't have a conversation about me.
Right.
Wonder if they don't have a conversation about it sometime.
Yes.
Here's my servant.
Yes.
He's an upright man. He's a man of integrity. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Praise the Lord, we can prove Satan wrong today.
Yes, amen.
We can show Satan for what he is.
Yeah.
We can, through the very life, through the victories that we gain through our battles, we can reveal the weakness of the devil himself. He thinks he's strong sometimes, and that's because we let him, folks.
Yeah.
Sometimes people spend more time listening to him than they really should. We listen to him. When he comes along and brings these doubts to your mind and casting these aspersions on you, telling you, as we heard this morning, this person over there said this, this person over there does that, we listen to the devil. When we need to keep our eyes on the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Oh, if the devil can get us to break under the pressure of everyday life, he'll weaken our faith in what we believe to be truth. He'll weaken us. We don't want to become doubtful. We want to trust the Lord. Well, there's another time with Peter. I like Peter. He's a lot like me, I guess. Or I'm a lot like him. One time he said, "Lord, if that's you, will you bid me to walk, come out on the water?" Remember that? And he was doing just fine while he was looking at the Lord. And then all of a sudden he started looking at the waves. He started looking at the sea. Folks, we're guilty. We're guilty. We're looking at the things that are surrounding us. We're looking at our situation and our condition instead of looking at God. When he took his eyes off Jesus, he went down. Have you ever wondered, even though that he failed, do you think he'd do it again? Do you know that we learn life's lessons through experiences? We learn how to grow in the Lord through our experiences. And I want to tell you this, not just our successes, but we learn through our failures. We learn life's lessons through our failures. You know, I believe if Peter would have had the opportunity, even though that he failed, I believe he would have done it again. If he hadn't stepped out there, even though that he failed, he'd have never learned that as long as I have my eyes on him, he can bring me through. He never learned that. He might have heard it by the hearing of the ear, but he'd have never learned it, folks. But stepping out there and trusting fully and faithfully in God, he learned that even though I failed, if I keep my eyes where they belong, I know I'm going to be able to walk. God's going to help us to walk. That's what he's there for. All his friends, the other disciples, they were there in the boat. They looked around. They saw what was going on. You reckon maybe Peter was humiliated a little bit? That was probably a very humbling experience. Stepping out and walking across that water, and next thing you know, he's sinking. Oh, Lord. You know that same Lord is reaching out for you and I today. He's reaching down for you and I today. He sees your difficulties. He sees your pressures. He sees the things that you're dealing with. We can't all know what one another's going through, but he does. That's one of the beauties of this today. He does. He understands. He knows the thoughts of your mind. He knows the situation of your heart. He knows the pains, the aches, the troubles, the sorrows. He knows all about those things. Oh, I tell you, I'd be here at Monarch with my head down today if I didn't believe what I'm telling you. Well, we've been going through some things. We've been dealing with things that have really, really struck our hearts. Things that have hurt. Things that are hard to understand, but I know that there's a God today.
Yeah,
I know that there's a God. And I know that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him.
Amen.
Against that day.
Yes.
I've learned to commit it to the Lord. Folks, there's no sense worrying about anything you can't change anyway. And if I'm going around worrying about things, as we all heard just a little while ago, how is that showing others what kind of a God I have?
Right.
What kind of a God I serve? Trust Him. Our hope is in Him. Our faith is in the living God.
Yeah.
I'd like to turn over into Exodus, the fourth chapter. Read a little bit here. You know, God has always shown man why he should trust him. And God, in his great wisdom, has used ordinary things to prove his power. He's used ordinary things. I don't know about you today, but I'm an ordinary thing. I'm an ordinary thing. Over here in Exodus, the 4th chapter, it says, "And Moses answered and said, Behold, God had told Moses to go back, and he wanted to send him to deliver his people. But he said, Behold, they'll not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Oh, isn't that just like us? I heard a fellow had cerebral palsy. And he said, the Lord called him to preach. And he said, who, me? And he said, so I took the time to tell you, Lord, I can't talk right. His speech was very affected by it. He said, I can't talk right. He said, I have cerebral palsy. And he laughed and he said, think about that. I'm telling God I have cerebral palsy. You know, sometimes we're telling God, oh, I'm limited, Lord. Oh, God, I'm not able to do that, Lord. That's backing up on God. That's not trusting Him.
Yeah.
That's not giving in to all His will when we begin to say, I can't do this. With God, we can do it. I know that. I've experienced that in my life. With God, we can do it. We can do whatever He requires of us because it's for sure that He's going to give us the grace. Whatever He requires of us, whatever He calls us to do, He's going to give us the grace to do it. He's not going to expect you to do it alone. We're not trusting in ourselves. We're not trusting in one another. We're trusting in God. I'm counting on you for your prayers. I'm counting on you for support as one another in the body of Christ. But dear one, my trust is in God. The one that never fails. The one that understands what I'm going through, what I'm dealing with. He understands my personality, my makeup. And He understands how to work through every bit of that somehow and help us to grow in Him and get us to heaven someday. That's the ultimate, is that we'll get to heaven. So the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, it's a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and he caught it and it became a rod in his hand. And he said, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. I'm giving you a sign. God showed Moses that he could take a stick. And he could turn it into a serpent. And then he could turn it back into a stick again. God wasn't interested in being a magician here. God was giving Moses something that he could stand on. Have you ever been through your difficult, hard times and God come along and give you something you can stand on?
Yeah.
I've got a scripture. It's found over in the 56th chapter of Isaiah that the Lord gave me when I was crawling around down there on the floor with the pain that hurt so bad I couldn't walk. I still got it. He gave me something I could stand on.
Thank the Lord.
I still got it. It still proves true today. The Word of God still proves true today. It doesn't fail. It doesn't get smaller. It doesn't faint. It doesn't fade out. But it gets stronger and stronger and stronger in my bosom. I still got it. You still got it? Oh, you know, I imagine that if God can do something like that with a stick, don't you imagine that He can do something with stubborn hearts and stiff-necked people? I believe He can. God wants to work with the common things. Remember when Jesus was at the wedding, He turned water into wine for the feast. Just a common thing, just water. Jesus wants to work in your life. He wants to take you beyond your expectations.
Yes, I believe
that. That's what we have. See, I know, Lord, I know what I'm able to do here. I know what my limits are. But do you know what God's limits are?
All right. That's all right.
He wants to take you beyond your expectation. He wants to take you beyond your understanding of who He is. He wants you to help. He wants to help you see Him in a greater light. He wants you to see Him in a greater way. He wants you to trust Him. Be faithful, dear ones. God can bless and will bless faithfulness. Be faithful. He took a stick and He turned it into a rod or a serpent. And then He turned it back into a stick again. I don't know. I'm sure that some of you here aren't afraid of snakes. But I can promise you one thing. If you put one up here, I'll be gone. And I'm sure I would run from it. I know that. I have nothing for snakes. But God, He said, I'm going to give you something that they may know that I have been with you. Folks, that's what the world needs out there. The world needs you and I. People that can go out and they can say, I know God's been with them. I know that God has been with them. Remember the disciples over there? They went around scratching their heads and said, I don't know how these men can do this, but I tell you one thing, they've been with God. They were just unlearned men. They weren't anyone special, but they've been with God. Oh, folks, it changes us forever when we've been with God. It changes our whole perspective, our whole outlook on things when we've been with God. But we have to let go and let God work. We want to hold on to our own human frailties and our weaknesses. Moses says, I can't talk. I can't talk. You know, God knew what how his speech was, didn't he? So God sent Aaron to help him talk. God knows, dear ones. He knows. I want to turn to Samuel. I want you to see some things here. Samuel, the 17th chapter. These are familiar. 1 Samuel, I'm sorry. 17th chapter. And let's look at David for a minute. Just little ordinary things. In verse 38, David already convinced Saul that he'd go out and he'd kill that giant. You know what? I don't know about Saul being a king, being a general there, and being willing to send out a little boy to do a man's job. But you know what? Saul was out of options. He was out of options. You know, many times that's where the Lord has to bring you and I. To where we're out of options. I've tried this, I've tried that. A lot of times, folks, if we're not careful, we'll try everything we know to try before we try the Lord. He's the first option here. We can take away the word option. He's the first one that we seek. He's the first one that we come to. But Saul was out of options. And he was willing now to let a ruddy little boy go out there and fight this giant. He seemed pretty convincing. Seemed like he was pretty sure what he could do. But you know what? David had been with God. See, God had given him some signs. He said he delivered me out of the mouth of the bear and out of the mouth of the lion. He gave him some signs. Folks, I know God. I know God. And I know that He gives you and I signs too. I know He gives you and I hope. He gives you and I Scripture. He gives you and I part of Himself that we can hold on to. Let's don't cast that away. Let's don't take that carelessly or foolishly. But let us acknowledge and recognize that is God wanting to deal with us and wanting to help us in our times of need. Well, the 38th verse says, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. He put them off. You know, you and I know common sense tells us you don't send a shepherd boy out to kill a giant. You just don't do that. But yet, this was God's plan. Do you know what God's plan is? Do you know what His plan is for you tomorrow and the next day? Do you really know? No, we don't. The future is hidden from us. It's uncertain. But God is in the future. God is in tomorrow. God is in next week. Generally, when you leave Monarch and you go back home, you find yourself right in the midst of one of the biggest battles you had all year. God is in that. Look for Him. Don't just start crying and falling back and saying, "Oh Lord, have mercy. I went to Monarch. I did what You wanted me to do. I was in Your will, Lord. Why am I facing this today?" Let's don't cry like that. Say, "Lord, You got something here. I just received some good food. I just received some good nourishment. I just received some good instruction. Lord, help me to apply it to the situation You permitted me to be in." Oh, that's what we need to do. A lot of times when an emergency comes, we don't remember how to do the first things first. We get a little confused from excitement. The devil takes advantage of those times, see. But oh, God, Paul was it, said something about laying up in store for the times that are before us. We're here with an opportunity to lay up in store. Don't just let these meetings, these messages go by and not get your benefit from them. Not to get your help, your strength. God's looking for a strong people. A people that'll stand up. A people to be a tried people. A proven people. A true people that'll trust Him. Live or die, we're going to trust Him. We're not giving in to the arm of flesh. We're not giving in to all the doubts and the fears that come our way. We're trusting Him. I started out for heaven, folks. I told you 3 years ago, or 4 or 5 years ago, I guess it was, you got me on your hands because I'm going all the way with the Lord. By the grace of God, I'm going all the way. There's nothing to turn back to.
Amen.
What's back there? I've been there.
Yeah.
Many of you, most of you have been there.
Yeah.
There's nothing back there.
Yeah.
There's nothing out there to satisfy like the Lord satisfies. There's nothing out there that tells me they're going to be a present help in every time of trouble. There's nothing out there that tells me that. I tell you what, there's things out there that says if you're in trouble, I'll give you more trouble. But oh, He said He'd be a present help. And I found that to be so, haven't you? Testimonies, yes we have. A very present help in every time of trouble. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. Folks, I'm a rich man today because I got a rich Father.
Amen.
You got a rich Father.
Amen.
Whatever your need is. I believe that was mentioned too. We say, "Well, you don't understand my situation different. You don't know what I've been through." He understands.
Amen.
Whatever your situation is, I found out. I remember back when I was working years ago, we'd be sitting around in a group, the fellas would, and someone would set out to tell a tale, and I'll tell you what, the first one didn't have a chance. Because the next one got bigger, and the next one got bigger, and they just got bigger and bigger and bigger until you knew that everybody was lying. Who wants to see who can tell the biggest tale? Well, folks, I'm sure that we're not lying here today. But whatever your situation is, no doubt you can sit back down after your testimony and someone's going to get up and it's going to make you feel about that big with what they've been through and what they've been dealing with. We all are dealing with difficulties. That's what life is. My children, your children probably said, "That's not fair. Dad, that's not fair." Well, I said, "Whoever told you life was fair? I never told you that." But no matter what life is to us, dear ones, God is.
Amen.
I know God is, and I know His Word is unfailing.
Amen.
And it meets each test.
Thank God.
Whatever the world has to offer us, I know God is. And I know God always will be. He's not going to be dead tomorrow, folks. His Word not going to be dead either. Whatever He teaches us today, we can stand on that the rest of our lives. We can stand on it. We can count on it. It's not going to change. He's an unchanging God. And He said, "I'm God and I lie not." Isn't that something? I was out in the world all those years and I served someone that lied to me all the time. You know, this is good to be able to serve someone that doesn't lie to me. He doesn't lie, even in our hard places, even in those difficult places. See, the devil come along and tell me you're never going to work again. You're not going to be able to provide and support your family. Devil come along telling me all those things. At my darkest hour, God come along and said, you be faithful, child. You be faithful, child. I'm going to heal you. I worked 14 more years after that on the same job. Never was down like that again. Never missed another day to my remembrance again because of that affliction. You know, some people pay a lot of money to go to a specialist. God is a specialist in anything. He said, I can't go with these things. But he took his staff in his hand in verse 40 and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Common sense tells me that I'm not going to go out and face a giant with a little stone in a sling. Folks, God goes beyond common sense. He goes beyond. He said, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Oh, it's so easy to put God in a little box. Yeah. Lord, this don't make sense. I can almost picture Saul scratching his head, thinking, oh no, he's going out there to face him with, oh, he's going to be mincemeat for him. Pigeon feed. Oh, but he had God, see, on his side. And he took that little ordinary stone. And that little ordinary stone became a deliverer for the children of Israel. Oh, if we'd have had it my way, why, we'd have went out there with about 4 or 5 guys and we'd have ganged up on him. That one little stone, just a little ordinary thing, became a deliverer for Israel. When that giant fell and David went and took that giant sword and cut off his head, the Philistines fled. Yeah. They ran. And you know that we can put the devil on the run too. If we'll trust the Lord. If we'll be faithful in the little things. It's the little things that we need to be faithful in. The little things that we need to keep true in our life and true in our hearts. The devil takes the little things and he can create big things out of them if we're not careful. It's the little things. I have one more scripture here. As Brother Bell said, Lord willing, there'll be one more after that and I'll be finished. The 9th chapter of John. Let's see what Jesus did. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Isn't that just like us?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting ready to judge them now. Which one of them sinned? Folks, you and I don't have enough information to judge someone else.
Yeah.
We're not purified enough to judge someone else. All that belongs to God. All that belongs to God. Which one of them sinned? And that's just the way human nature seems like looks at things sometimes. But Jesus answered and said, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Isn't that wonderful that you and I can be a vessel that the work of God could be manifested in us? Isn't that wonderful that if we'll lie down and submit to the will of God, submit to his purpose in us, that his works are to be manifested in us? That others can be benefited, that others can see the power of God, that others can see the glory of God. You and I were created to glorify God.
That's
why he created us. To glorify him, to lift him up, to exalt him with our very lives. Oh, isn't that wonderful that he wants to manifest himself through you and I? Just ordinary things. just ordinary things. But he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And I missed verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, that night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed. And he came seeing. I wonder what you'd think if you came to one of us ministers, said, I want you to pray for my eyes. If we just stooped down and spit on the ground, made a little mud and packed it in your eyes. Just ordinary thing. Dirt and spit. Spit sounds disgusting, doesn't it? They spit in his face. Just an ordinary thing. But it was how the Lord chose to show himself to these people. That is what the Lord chose. Or they might have led him away thinking, oh, this is disgusting. He just made spit out of mud out of spit and dirt, and I've got it in my eyes. And he's telling me to go watch. You know how we are, how we think? But he did it. Obedience. And when he got done, he came seeing, the Bible says. God's power is seen through the availability of you and I.
It's true.
Not through our ability, but through our availability. And we can keep the Lord from doing what he wants to do with us because we won't make ourselves available. We can do that. We can back up on what God is wanting from you and I because we're not willing. And you know what that generally, what that means is? That means that we have not made the perfect consecration. We have not made the perfect commitment. We have not given our all over to the Lord when we back up on the Lord. Somewhere along the line, our trust and our faith is hindered because we haven't given our all to the Lord. He wants our ability. It says, Jesus said in one place, blessed are the meek. And I want to say today, blessed are the available of those that are available. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you to be a blessing to others. Just an ordinary thing. You know, whatever he does with you, there sure isn't anything to go get the big head about.
That's right.
I mean, I learned a long time ago how weak this vessel is.
Yeah.
But whatever the God can do, I say let him get the glory.
Yeah.
I say give him the honor, give him the praise, give him the availability to use you in the way that he sees fit.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just one of the people. I'm just one of the commoners. He wants to use the common things. It says in the scripture he uses the common things, I think, to confound the wise. Oh, he's a lot wiser than we are.
Yes, he is.
You know what? People are not getting the blessings that God has for them today because they're not making themselves available.
Yes.
Because they're holding back. They're drawing back from the Lord. They're missing out. Oh, yeah, there might be some extra battles and there might be some harder things to face, but I want to tell you, there's some blessings there you're missing out on. There's a closeness there, a communion there that you're missing out on. And you're not seeing God as you really could see him if you'd make yourself available to what God wants to do with you. If God can use the sticks and the rocks and the spit to do his will, I'm sure he can use us if our will is given over to him. Well, I have something here that I think is interesting. The stick, the rock, and the spit, they didn't complain, they didn't make excuses, or they didn't question God's wisdom. They didn't suggest an alternate way to do something. Lord, I understand what you're trying to do, but the stick didn't give him any trouble. It just did what he told it to do. The stone, it went, he guided it right to the forehead. It didn't talk back. It didn't make excuses. And the spit and the dirt, it did exactly what he wanted it to do. It didn't talk back. It didn't say, well, Lord, I got a better way. Lord, I think it ought to be done this way. I think it ought to be done that way. Oh, the Lord wants us to be crucified on the cross. He wants us to be consecrated, submitted wholly, completely to Him, that He can use us in a way. You want to see more faith? You want to see more power? Folks, it takes consecration, submitted, given over to God, and allowing Him to work His perfect will in our life. Where the power comes from. Yes, God used many probably inanimate objects for His mission because they didn't tell Him how to do His job. Sometimes we maybe want to tell the Lord how to do it because we see it a different way. You know, we all see things. I don't mean the Bible here, but when we look at things, we all see something different. But do we want to see it through the eyes of faith today, through God's eyes? I want to close with this scripture here. It's found in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. It's very familiar to us all. It says in verse 24, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Respect means high esteem, high regard. And I read that last line as he had high regard for the compensation that he was going to receive. Folks, God will compensate you and I. You don't have to worry about that. God will compensate you and I for what we do for Him. God will pour you blessings upon blessings. He had high regard. He had respect for the recompense or the compensation, the reward that he was going to receive. One of these days, if we'll stay faithful, there's an eternal reward for every one of us.
Amen.
We're all looking forward to that time. We're all longing for that time, desiring that when this life is over, the compensation, it'll be there. Paul said there's a crown of life laid up for everyone that loveth his appearing. It'll be there. But will we be there? Are we going to draw back? Say, "Oh Lord, not me. Lord, I'm just not able." He doesn't want your ability. He wants your availability. So may God help us today to trust Him fully, completely. Because when we fail to trust Him as we ought to trust Him, we're going to miss the blessings. We're going to miss the growth. We're going to miss the very meat that God has for you and I in our life. Amen. Pray for me.